we haven't yet met, my name's Robin. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you are just joining us, it's not every Sunday we have a hot tub on the platform, although it's not a bad idea. It's not a quirky kind of new worship. It's, as it's already been mentioned, we are here today to witness the baptism of two of our Lakesiders, Priscilla and Andrea. And so we want to welcome their guests, their friends, their family. Thank you for joining us as we get to participate in this. And we're not just witnesses. We actually participate in their baptism. It's not that you're physically baptizing them. It's not that you get to get into this hot tub that's about 102 degrees. But they're being baptized into our family here. That's how we participate. They're being baptized into the family of the followers of Jesus across the globe. And Lakeside is just one of those local expressions of that. They're being born into our family, adopted into our family. Just as a child is born into or adopted into the family, there's a welcome, there's excitement, there's a sense of responsibility for their care. That's how we participate in their baptism. And baptism is an ancient practice, but it's more than a practice. It's a sacred ritual. It's a symbol that holds a mysterious reality. It holds within it a mystery. Not a mystery in the sense of a secret, where you kind of have to have a password or a secret handshake and only so many people can know about it. No, it's a mystery in the sense that it's beyond explanation. It's a mystery in the sense that God is mystery. We can't fully explain God, and anybody who thinks they can, don't believe them. God is mystery. Love is mystery. Have you ever tried to describe love, explain it, the why of it, the how of it? That's the kind of mystery that baptism is. It's just beyond explanation. Perhaps more explicitly, we're actually witnessing today, ready for it, a death and a resurrection. Now, before you run for the door or call 911, we're obviously talking symbolically here. This death and resurrection happens symbolically through this water. And we're going to circle back to that in a couple minutes. But first of all, just this idea of water, where did it come from? Why is water the method of baptism? What meaning does water have? It didn't appear out of nowhere. It's not an invention of the church. Water is extremely symbolic throughout the whole story of God and humanity and throughout scriptures. It's loaded with meaning. The Bible opens with water. It closes with water, and there's lots and lots of water in between. Throughout Scripture, God saves people, rescues people through water, out of water, by water. The first words of the Bible in Genesis 1 read, "When God began to create the heavens and the earth was complete chaos, and darkness covered the face of the deep." The deep is the waters. And while a wind could be a breath, could be a spirit, it's the same word in the Hebrew. A spirit of God swept over the face of the waters. Waters represent cosmic chaos in Scripture. A disorder that's hostile to life, that's unsustainable for life. And in the poetic description of creation that we get in the first page of our Bible, God separates the waters to make room for land, Eden, to make way for life, where beauty and harmony can flourish. See, out of the water, life. And in the famous epic of God's rescue of the Hebrews from their slavery in Egypt, they pass through the waters of the Reed Sea or the Red Sea to dry land on the other side. They pass from slavery to freedom, from death to life. Out of the waters, through the waters, life. And when Joshua was leading the people into their new land, they crossed through the Jordan River. They'd spent 40 years in the desert, wandering in tents. 40 years of camping, friends. 40 years of camping. They come through the Jordan River, through the waters, to this new land where they can actually have a house to live in, to a place of flourishing and abundance, from a place of placelessness and homelessness, to a place of home and place. You see, out of the water, through the water, life. And the water, the sea, the ocean, the deep was also a great source of fear for the ancient people. They didn't understand it. It was ferocious, it was cruel, it was merciless. They didn't have swimming lessons and sea-doos and scuba diving. That's not how they experienced the sea. The sea was terrifying. They actually thought it was a living being, that it was a monster that consumed. And within its waters were monsters lurking beneath the surface. Fishermen would go out to sea and not return. They'd been swallowed by this monster. The monster could swallow and drown victims. It could swamp coastal cities. Though this is a medieval map, centuries later, that is a picture of what the ancients thought of the sea, that there were sea serpents, that there was monsters that would just take ships down and people down. Up in the corner there, there's a tray, that's a Roman tray, depicting the monsters of the sea. That's how they imagined the sea. The sea was a place of death. It was unpredictable. It had a life of its own, and it was terrifying. And it became a metaphor for enemies, because to them, the sea was an enemy. So why not use that metaphor when you talk about any enemies? Foreign enemies, national enemies, the guy across the street, sea, deep, water. The author of Psalm 18 says this. He says, "But me..." It's himself. God caught. He reached all the way from sky to sea. God pulled me out of that ocean of hate, that enemy, chaos, the void in which I was drowning. The psalmist describes himself as drowning in enemy hate. But God reached in. God pulled him out of the water, rescue, life. No wonder then when Jesus' cousin John started telling people, your rescuer, your deliverer, your giver of life is coming. Turn away from your wicked ways. Turn back to God. Prepare yourself for the coming of Jesus. That he chose water, baptism, to symbolize this. It had been part of their whole history, this whole theme of God's rescue through water. This is a mikvah. It was discovered under the western wall of Jerusalem. Every Jewish community or town had one. If you were wealthy, you had one in your own home. And it was used for purification. It was also used for baptism if you converted to Judaism. The guys, you know, they got snipped. They were circumcised. But anybody else went through these waters of baptism and converted to Judaism. So this idea of baptism isn't new. It was repurposed. John baptized in the same river, the River Jordan, that the people passed through to get into this new land, this place of life and flourishing. Out of the water, new life, rescue. It's potent symbolism. And John's message was, God is coming to rescue you. You've wandered far from God. Now come back, come back. Be baptized into new life. New life with God. Be forgiven. Receive this new life. Out of the water, life. And so there was water, lots of water, chaos, lots of chaos. But out of the water, out of the chaos, God is always birthing new life. We sang about it this morning. You're going to hear about it in the testimonies of Priscilla and Andrea today. It's what God does. God rescues, and nowhere more finally and concretely than in the death of Jesus on the cross. After Jesus' death and resurrection, this idea of God rescuing through water was taken to a whole new level. It took on a far deeper meaning even than before. Baptism emerged as a powerful ritual, a sacrament that vividly symbolizes death, burial, and resurrection, new life. Have a look at how Paul, one of the prolific authors of the New Testament, describes it. In Romans 6, we read, "Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father," that's God, "now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. There's a powerful mystery going on here. It's not magic, but it's mystery, divine mystery. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. It's not that we won't ever sin again. We know that, but we are set free from that death grip that sin has on us and from the condemnation of it, the accusation of it, the shame of it. And as Priscilla and Andrea go down into the water, and it's just water, or is it? As they go down into this baptismal water, they're inviting God to bury their old selves and recreate a new one. Out of the water, new life. So as you're baptized, Andrea and Priscilla, as you go down under the water and up again, you're mysteriously being raised to new life. And this mystery is so powerful and so extraordinary that the only way Paul could actually describe it adequately was to describe it through death and resurrection. Death to your old way of seeing the world. Death to your old way of being in the world. Death to your old way of relating to the world. And resurrection, you're a new creation. You're a new creation. It may seem kind of morbid, but it's not. It's freeing. It's new life. It's the cry of a newborn baby, which we get to hear at the back. Cry of a newborn baby. It's a clean artist's canvas. It's a new day. It's a new identity. Look at this. This is what Paul also says. He says, indeed, I've been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living isn't mine, but it's lived by faith in the Jesus who loved me and gave himself for me. So when you see me living well, Paul says, it's Jesus. And when I fail, that's not my identity. That's not truly who I am. Jesus has me. Jesus is covering me. Jesus is rescuing me. Jesus is restoring me. My reality, my identity is new life. And although baptism is a one-time act, we enact it every day. Every day we wake up to enact this new reality, to enact our baptism, to live as Christ. Christ is our identity, regardless of how we feel about ourselves. Some days that's hard to believe. Regardless of what other people say about us, the accusations they hurl at us, the looks they give us, doesn't matter. It might hurt. But those accusations and that shame and those mistakes, they're buried. They're buried. And here's the cool part. The past mistakes, the present mistakes, and the future mistakes are already buried today in your baptism. They're buried. And you don't do this by yourselves. You don't go it alone. Here you have a community of faith. You have a global community of faith, but you have a community of faith right here that promises to hold you and support you, to give you a soft and a safe place to land, to extend a hand when you do fall, when you do fail. That's how we're participating, friends. So look around. This is your community of faith. When a new child comes into the home, we're there, aren't we? To protect, to support, to provide. That's how we participate in their baptism. Water, baptismal water, is thicker than blood. Jesus and Paul chose family intentionally. They didn't have sort of that Norman Rockwell painting in mind, much like this one of the perfect, well-mannered family. It's not a slight on Norman Rockwell, by the way. I really love his nostalgic paintings. But what Jesus and Paul were thinking is more like this, which is also a Norman Rockwell painting. Diversity. Diversity in every way. And we all know, don't we, with diversity comes friction. And real families are messy. I don't need to tell you that. A friend of ours said, you know, don't worry about leaving your kids too much money. Just make sure you leave them enough to get therapy for your parenting. Families are messy. And so while this is just ordinary water, there's absolutely nothing ordinary about it. And we know what Jesus can do with water, don't we? So your baptism today, friends, is kind of like a dress rehearsal for every day, in which you choose to die to everything that is less than how God created you to be, less than what God wants for you, in which you choose to die to everything, die to yourself. Baptism today is nothing short of your death and resurrection, new life out of water. And so I'm going to invite Johanna and Priscilla and Andrea now to come up to the stage, and we will proceed with this death and resurrection.
Hello, everybody. All right, the mic's working. My toes are getting warm. That's nice. This is Andrea, and she's going to share her story of faith with us. So,
for a long time, my life was defined by a deep sense of loneliness. I spent years searching for belonging in all the wrong places, trying to fill a void that only God could fill. I was a people pleaser with no boundaries, constantly trying to control how others saw me just to feel secure. I clung to things like addiction, anger, and an intense need for control, things I truly believed I could not survive without. I was stuck in a toxic workplace and tied to friendships I'd had for decades that were harmful to my soul. The turning point came when I finally accepted I was powerless. I stopped fighting and finally surrendered, knowing that I couldn't fix myself or my life on my own. In giving control over to God, I found a peace I had never known. In that surrender, He began a work of healing I never thought possible. He removed the addiction, calmed my anger, and gave me the strength to set boundaries and walk away from those toxic environments. The miracle of this journey hasn't just been my own healing, but the restoration of my family. God has brought healing to my marriage and has transformed my relationships with my children and my parents. He has also replaced those harmful ties from my past with new, healthy friendships and a community of people who truly check in on me and support me. Where there was once tension and loneliness, He has replaced it with an abundance of love and connection. I no longer have to perform for others because I am who God says I am. Our God is truly amazing. I am being baptized today to publicly declare that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I am stepping into this new life with the confidence of His promise in Matthew 28:20, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the of age. I know now that in His hands I am never alone.
Amazing. Andrea, is it your desire to follow Jesus with your whole life?
Yes.
Do you accept this baptism as a sign of death to your old self and promise of a new life in Christ?
Yes.
At your request, I baptize you, put your arms up, in the name of Creator, our God, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, you can cry. This is Priscilla and her story of faith.
So I grew up in Brazil in a family with faith. Through my dad, I connected with God from a very young age, going to church with him every Sunday. From my mom, I received the importance of knowledge, including studying about religion. I believed in God, but it was more knowledge than a deep relationship. I had never gone through something heavy enough to truly seek God in all my heart. So in many moments, I trusted in myself more than in him. After moving to Canada, my life changed. I found myself in a relationship that revealed itself to be toxic and abusive. I became isolated, far from my family and friends. With two young daughters, I lost my grandmother, two cousins, and then my father. My biggest reference of love and faith to COVID. I went through domestic violence, had no support, no money, and no direction. I felt completely lost and helpless. In my deepest pain, I cried out to God, asking why. And in that place of total brokenness, he answered me. One night, after losing my dad, looking to the moon, I saw a cross. I knew he was there. From that moment, he connected with me, and I was able to feel his presence and begin restoring my life through him. Jesus, for me, is the best example for all of us and the one I want to follow. Even in his hardest moments, he trusted God and offered his best. Now, more than religious knowledge, I truly feel God's presence. I surrender my life to him and reaffirm my desire to be a follower of Jesus, living with faith, trust, and purpose. I want to commit myself to this new life where I surrender and make space for God. Baptism is my way of declaring that my life belongs to him and choosing every day to follow Jesus' teachings and walk in his purpose.
Priscilla, is it your desire to follow Jesus with your whole life?
Yes.
Do you accept this baptism of sign of death to your old self and promise of a new life in Christ?
Yes.
At your request, I will baptize you in the name of God our Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Let's just take a moment and pray for Priscilla and Andrea. Oh, Jesus, words feel like they're not enough. I thank you that you are a God of rescue, that you are a God who brings new life, transformation, and restoration. And God, that you meet us in the chaos and in the darkness and in the places where sometimes it doesn't feel or seem that you're there. I thank you for Priscilla and Andrea. And we ask, God, just your anointing over their life. We ask for your protection today and into this week as they begin to walk out this new journey of new life where the old life is buried and they get to spring into something new. And so we just thank you, God, for this time this morning, and we pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Our prayer team's at the front. If you are carrying a burden and you just need prayer, if there's something on your heart, they're just happy to pray for you, and it's all very confidential. I'll be in the atrium after. If you want to know more about following Jesus, if you're interested in baptism, please speak to me or speak to someone with a lanyard or our prayer team. And now I'd just love to close us off with a benediction as we go into this new life that God is birthing within us. Let us go now as the church, not a building, but a people, not a program, but a spirit-filled movement. And may you carry the presence of Jesus into the broken places and into the dividing lines. May your table grow longer, your welcome grow wider, and your heart grow softer towards those who are different from you. Let us go now in the name of Jesus, with the message of Jesus, living the way of Jesus for the sake of the world. Go in grace, friends. Go in love. And let us go and be the church. Go in peace.
Thanks for spending time with us today. If this message was helpful to you, please consider passing it on, giving it a like, or supporting our work so we can continue to provide more great content. And if you're looking for a church to call home, whether in person or online, we'd love to connect. Head to lakesidechurch.ca to find out how you can get involved. Thanks again for being with us. We'll see you next time.